Solution, A1 Custom Car Care.
All right, good morning and welcome. You've got Sarah and Dustin, A1 Custom Car Care. Sarah, the seasons are changing.
Spring is here.
Spring is here.
I am ready for it.
I think we're all ready for it. Do you know anybody? And I realize sometimes I come across as the, you know, I want snow forever, the frozen winter wonderland. I do like some snow. But I was thinking about this the other day. Sarah, you and I always talk about the persimmon seeds and the little woolly worms. I don't actually know what they're called. I've always called them woolly worms. But basically, the old wise tales of, you know, whether we're going to have a bad winter or not. And I felt like, you know, probably ought to take some ownership of that. I don't know that the old wise tales were very true, at least in our area. It was a very mild winter for us.
Yeah, I don't think they were either. But I know that we were in, I think it's called the El Nino.
Yeah, the La Nina or El Nino.
Yeah, so I'm sorry if I butchered that name or got it incorrect. But basically, it was saying that the weather for our area was basically swapped almost with other areas.
I heard that as well.
So I know that the deep south actually experienced like very frigid temperatures. My mom, she went out a couple weeks ago to New Mexico actually.
Oh, nice.
And she ran into like the craziest snowstorm that they had experienced in like 10 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was very happy to really not have a super, you know, frigid or a lot of precipitation. I know we need that stuff. I listened to a guy that's down in Joplin called Doug Heddy. He does this, you know, kind of like long range forecast. He's got a YouTube channel. He's a meteorologist for a local station down there. Does a pretty good job. And he gets deep in depth on that stuff. And, you know, for the most part, I'm not saying our meteorologists here in Springfield, you know, aren't getting it right too, but it seems like Doug does a really good job and he's easy to listen to. And so far, he's been pretty on the ball. So I subscribe to his YouTube channel and I just take it with a grain of salt that Joplin is a little south, west of Springfield, obviously, for anybody that's not from around here. And that has been a really cool thing. He's pretty much nailed most of the storm forecasts that I've seen over the last year or two. But I am excited that spring is coming on. Obviously, the trees are budding out. The grass is growing. I saw a guy this last weekend. He was mowing on Sunday. And I know I can see it at my house that I'm going to have to get the old mower out, make sure the fuel's good, change the oil, sharpen the blades, all the normal stuff for this season, and get ready to start mowing.
I actually mowed for the first
time. Did you?
Yep.
Okay.
And we did. I know this is car maintenance, so I'll kind of relate it. We made sure and we did all of our preventative maintenance for our lawnmower. So preventative maintenance, whether you are mowing your grass or you're about to go on a road trip with your vehicle, make sure that it is very important to have all of that done. But yeah for our lawnmower, we changed our blades. We did the oil change, checked the fluids, you know, all of that 9 yards. And then we gave it a good cleaning because, you know, just needed it. And
absolutely.
Then we mowed and it did a great job.
Heck yeah. It's, you know, when equipment works like it's supposed to, it's such a godsend. Like it changes, you know, the job, if you will. But when it doesn't, you want to talk about a man temper tantrum? And I'm not proud of it, but sometimes it just drives me to...
I understand.
Oh, my goodness. You know, especially like with a pull start something or other where you're pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling and it just won't fire up and run. Or if it does, it runs and dies. I mean, it's just, you know, I love equipment. Obviously, I've been a technician mechanic for the last couple of three decades or getting close to for sure. And then some change working on the third one. But long story short, to Sarah's point, most of the frustrations or struggles that I have had personally, and I'm keeping it real with you guys, is because I didn't change the fuel or I bought poor quality fuel and put in there just because that's what I had. You know, there are getting to be fewer and fewer stations selling absolute straight gasoline or unleaded with no ethanol, which is really, really important. Sarah, do you and Ryan have any mixed gas? Do you run any weed eaters or anything that runs a mix? So, and I'm sure everybody out there, you know, mixes their own gas, which is no big deal. And it's more expensive to buy the pre-mixed gas, but I spend a little bit of money buying the pre-mixed gas out there. And there's several brands out there. True Fuel is the one I happen to use, but I've used Husqvarna and Steel and, you know, whatever brands that, you know, I'm sure it's the same stuff, probably just in different. But I did a lot of research on there, and there was a lot of things for premix gasoline engines that your normal fuel has in it that it shouldn't be in those premix engines, as well as there's some things in them that it needs that, you know, just a normal solution, you know, it does okay. Everybody out there has run that. I've got a buddy that runs a landscaping and lawn maintenance business, and he's like, I would go broke buying that premix gas, or I'd have to charge so much more. And I know he's right. But the caveat for me is I'm not going through near the volume of fuel that he is. And long story short, the reason I even bring this up is because I've noticed with the True Fuel or the premix fuel that is more expensive, even a season two or three later, where my normal premix, my carburetor would be all gummed up, my fuel system would be trash. I mean, it dried out the fuel lines. I mean, if anybody has done any small engine stuff, they probably have experienced some of the things I'm talking about. But the second part of that is I've noticed, you know, two, three seasons later, even if I haven't used a piece of equipment, my carburetor and fuel system is not all trash. And typically, I haven't had it let me down yet, and I'll keep you up if it does. It usually starts and runs just fine, even later after I've left that premix fuel in there, and it runs, and this may be a weird thing to a lot of you out there, but it smells better while I'm utilizing the piece of equipment, whether it's a chainsaw, weed eater, I can't think of, you know, anything else that I use premix, but those two or three or four, I have several of each, items really makes a big difference for me. And it seems like it starts easier with less pulls. The throttle response is better, and I'm not as frustrated with the piece of equipment, even though if it was probably self-inflicted, when I run the better fuel. So I pony up to the bar, and I pay the piper. And if you're struggling with some of your small engines, I would strongly recommend at least giving that a try. Now, if you're, like I said, a yard maintenance company, it doesn't really make much sense for you to buy that extra fuel because you're burning through it very, very quickly, or a volume user where I'm not necessarily, I'm just doing my place. So, you know, it does get a workout, but not near like you guys out there running these yard crews, which you guys are hitting it hard every single day. And you're going through and using the equipment where I don't normally. The other side of that, and I'm sure I'm not the only one out there, but for homeowners, And Sarah and I talk quite a bit about the hybrids and the battery technology. In cars, it's not really, in my opinion, reached what it should, the standard of service. But in some of your small hand tools, I am a huge cordless fan. I've had cordless weed eaters. DeWalt's cordless weed eater was kind of anemic. We are going to probably give a Milwaukee one a go this spring sometime and just see whether it works or it doesn't. But I've also had DeWalt and Milwaukee chainsaws. DeWalt's chainsaw, the toolless bar tensioner, was pretty much trash, in my opinion. The power was fine. The battery life was fine. All that was good. Just they did a poor job. Whoever developed their toolless bar tensioning system had never run a chainsaw for more than 38 seconds, I think. But Milwaukee has the standard 2 13-millimeter half-inch drive or half-inch nuts on studs, and it does a very good job. I'm extremely pleased with my Milwaukee. None of these are sponsored, by the way. I have bought and paid for all of these with my hard-earned money, but it has made my life a little bit better. And, you know, the older I get, and I'm not a super old dude by no means, but the older I get, the more I value quality over quantity, as well as if I can make the job a little bit more pleasant, a little bit faster, if I can buy some time back, that is a really important deal. You know, as I was younger, or as a younger man, I obviously had, you know, barely two nickels to rub together, but I had to do whatever the project or job was just with brute force and sheer will. But now I still want the job to get done, but I need to buy as much time back and make it as easy on me physically as possible. So that's how we roll. But Sarah and I are up against our first break. When we come back, we're going to weigh in on some of the skilled or non-skilled labor in the trades industries. I would sure like your all's feedback on that. But Sarah and I are going to step into a break. We're going to pick it up on the other side.
Your complete car care solution. A1 Custom Car Care.
All right, welcome back. You got Sarah and Dustin again. going to give a little chat. We're going to stretch away from the car thing, but it's kind of in the realm. Sarah, I'd like to talk about skilled labor versus unskilled labor.
Are we still seeing a shortage?
Oh, yeah, I think for sure. You know, a lot of the baby boomer generation, they have been obviously the biggest part of the labor force.
And they're retiring.
And they're retiring.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, like, there's this gap in there. And, you know, I don't know if it's like, and I'm not pooping on college, but like when I was a kid, everybody's like, if you don't go to college, you're not going to get a good job. And like, it was this big thing to go to college, and the trades were almost considered like, you know, oh, you don't read very well, so, you know, you're going to be a mechanic or a plumber or electrician.
Well, that
or whatever
was still taught when I went to high school. Yeah, I graduated in 2014, so I'm not sure.
I was
sure
a little bit before that, Sarah. I'm just going to put that out.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that is still being taught, but that was really, you were really pressured when I went to high school that you definitely need to go and get that 4-year degree.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know exactly what you wanted to do, that's okay. You can get a degree in general studies.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it was, I feel almost gypped. I have a 4-year degree. Mm-hmm. I also got a 2-year degree at OTC. That I actually got that first.
Mm-hmm.
I got my associate's in electronic media production. I started working in my field when I was 17 years old.
That's awesome.
I'm
Sarah,
still working in my field. And I went back to school, and I honestly don't know why I did. Well, I do. I do understand why I went back to school.
Yeah.
But I almost am to the point every single month that I make my student loan payment. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why did I go back? Why did I do this to myself? So I know I'm not the only one that's got buyer's remorse when it comes to that 4-year education.
You know, do you keep in touch with any of the other people that were in the media classes that you were in?
Yes, I do, actually. And
so are they in media of some kind now? Did they use their degrees?
I would say probably 20 to 30% are doing something in the field. And some people, they are not necessarily doing it as their first, like their current job.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people actually use those skills that they learned during our media classes, and they use it as like a secondary source of income. So for instance, one of the things that we learned is photography.
Sure.
And so a lot of the people that I went to school with that don't work in media, they have a photography business on the side, and they're really good.
Sure.
And quite a few of them, I have used them for different things. I used one gal for my engagement photos. I had another one come and do photos whenever I was trying on wedding dresses.
Yeah.
So I have used them. And then others, graphic design and social media management, those were big things that we also learned. And I know a lot of people who also do those things on the side as well.
Those are really becoming a sought after industry, I guess would probably be a good way to put it. The reason I bring that up is I know at least in my class, and I went to a vocational school for a couple of years in Monett, Missouri, so local around here. As far as I know, at least for the class that I was a part of, I think I'm the only one that does this for a living and have for the last 20 plus years. So it's one of those things that I was really thankful. Now that I've got kids going through high school now, I'm trying to urge them to some kind of a skill. And I'm sure they'll be fine, but they don't really know what they want to be when they grow up. But if you have an option to go to one of those vocational trade schools, I do not regret it at all. Like, that was probably the highlight of my high school time.
So my husband's little brother, he is going to be a junior next year. Mm-hmm. And so they offer VoTech at the high school that he attends. And so VoTech is whenever you go to high school part-time, college part-time. And so I have been telling him for quite some time now, but I actually had this conversation with him a couple weeks ago about VoTech. And I asked him, now, is there any classes that you would be interested in taking? And he was kind of hesitant. He's like, you know, I kind of have an idea of what I want to be when I grow up, but I'm not exactly sure if any of those classes are, you know, what I want to do with a career. And so I told him, I said, well, if there are any classes that you are even remotely interested in, I recommend that you take it, because even if it's something that you don't necessarily want to make a career out of it, if it is a skill that you can learn and use and you can either make money off of it, or it's something that can better your life in general. So like if you want to take a class in electrical or plumbing or construction or even culinary, those are things that you can, if you don't want to make a career out of it, you can at least know those skills for whenever you purchase a home or like a little side business that you want to do. So I am always encouraging people. If I loved my experience at my Votech school, and I really did learn an amazing amount of skills. And there are things that I didn't necessarily use in my career, but I use them as another source of income because I have those skills.
And more skills, the merrier.
Yeah.
I mean, you could take all my tools away from me, which you'd have a fight on your hands, by the way. But I could pick up and leave right now, and I could go cross country, out of the country, whatever. And those skills are mine.
Right.
You cannot take that from me. Now, maybe I got to do it with a different, you know, set of sockets or whatever. But even the culinary thing, so how I kind of got through high school and even a little bit after, you know, I cooked at Sonic forever. And you might think the fast food's not a, you know, legit job, but those skills helped feed me. And then from there, I went into a steakhouse and cooked for a while and then got into the construction trade, which I still use those skills today and have obviously grown those skills. And then obviously my specialty is an automotive technician or mechanic out there. That's a big, big deal, is having something to offer. And so what kind of sparked some of this idea or this thought is I get myself into all kinds of crazy situations where, you know, maybe it's running some light, heavy equipment and I'm not an equipment operator. I got a good buddy of mine who's amazing, but I do pretty well for not being a professional equipment operator, or running dump truck or concrete work or electrical work, to your point. And so I've noticed over the time that when I was a kid, everybody my dad ran around with had many skills like that. You know, maybe not everybody was an ace electrician, but, you know, they had some basic skills, and maybe not everybody could do finished flat work on concrete at a high-end level, but you could get the job done. And Nick said we could keep filling in the blanks. What I'm noticing now is there's a lot of people out there that are eager to help. They'll come and work with you, or they'll come and help, or they'll, you know, they want to be involved, but it's more time training them than it is them helping. And I don't know if you've seen this in your industry or your personal life, Sarah, at all, but, and I'm not poo-pooing on them. Somebody that'll get up off the couch, dude, you're my people. Come on. We'll figure this out. We'll teach you whatever we need to do. But it slows me down personally, not to make this about me, but it takes away from my ability to produce at a high level because I'm giving like almost pinpoint directions. Does that make any sense, Sarah? Have you ever run into this?
It does. So for our industry, ours is a little bit different. So I feel like whenever people learn about radio, whenever they go to college, it is only like, I don't know how to really describe it. So a lot of people, whenever they come into our industry, they are very eager to learn. They think that they already kind of have an idea of what our industry is like. And oftentimes we do spend a lot of time actually training them the reality of it. And so that is one thing that I do kind of wish was a little bit different. And oftentimes that's why you see in the radio industry, that's why you see a lot of the same names for just an extended period of time, is because once you get in this industry and you really learn it, you have those set of skills and you keep continuing on.
So I've had technicians over the years tell me that they've tried to quit the automotive industry and it keeps dragging them back in.
That's how radio is.
And when you're telling me that, I'm like, oh man, I've seen it where people kind of get a little burned out, or they, you know, it's mainly when they get good at what they do, but they don't keep expanding their skills and they get stagnant and bored and they're like, this job's awful, blah, 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 blah. And so I personally have witnessed that over the years, and I have seen in many different times where the people come back and they're like, yeah, this is just my industry. I actually seen a guy, he has sold all of his tools that I have known at least two, if not three times. and he has started over, which is insane. Like, man, if I had to start over,
imagine that,
oh,
Bill.
My gosh. If I had to start over today, I would cry. And I'm not an easy person to
cry. No, I couldn't
cry.
Imagine that tool, Bill.
Yeah. So he has sold them, like I said, 2 if not 3 times. I mean, everything. Like, I'm getting out, I'm doing graphic design or whatever he was going to go and do. And then to this day, he's still in the business. And the stuff, and I bought some of it. It was pennies on the dollar. You know, when you buy a Snap-on, whatever, if you get 50% of it afterwards, you've done well. Most of the time, it's 30-40%. So it's heartbreaking, as well as it was kind of nice to get a good deal on some stuff. He was getting out of it. It helped him out of his spot. But to have and see him rebuy in multiple times was like, holy cow, dude, I cannot imagine. If you just stick with something long enough and continue growing your skill set, you know, I think that's why people get real stagnant. Like, you know, if I just wanted to do tires all day long, that's a young man's game. I mean, I'm not saying there's not some old time tire guys out there, but, you know, I would definitely want to do and know and learn that, which I do. But I have expanded those skills. So a lot of times, honestly, what I do now is when they've been at another shop and they've had tire pressure monitoring or a vibration or something that nobody else can get out, that's the tire work that I deal with now, because I've continued to develop those skills. But the give back needs to happen. And that's really what I want to dive into in the next segment, is how A1 Custom is doing that, what our plan is, where the industry's going. But you all are listening to 104.1 KSGF. We'll be right back after the break.
Your complete car care solution, A1 Custom Car Care.
All right, welcome back, Sarah and Dustin. We're halfway through the show. We're talking about skilled versus unskilled labor. And I would sure like to hear your guys' feedback about whatever industry you guys are in out there. You know, if you're in the medical field, the law field, you're in the brick mason, concrete field, electrician, construction, fill in the blank, social media management. You know, whatever your game is. And there's a lot of, I mean, honestly, the opportunities are endless, I think, at this point in time. But, you know, as I was a kid, I spent a lot of time at the dealerships, or even some, you know, my dad transitioned from the dealer to auto body and then glass work, probably around maybe my 8 to 12, somewhere in there, age as I was growing up. And I was always very much essentially free labor. I realized children are not free. So it was my way to be exposed to many industries and different things that I noticed that as I became an adult, that I, even though maybe I was just the kid holding the flashlight, and I have a very crazy story about holding the flashlight for my dad. I imagine some of you guys out there have those as well. never hold it in the right spot. You're never paying attention, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But even though I was just there as it like a support role, or sometimes we would go and help some of his friends or coworkers out, I was always a big kid and a fairly decent sized fella now. And so it was just very easy to volunteer me to do the heavy lifting and a lot of the, you know, kind of grunt work, if you will. And as a kid, I didn't mind that, to be honest. I've always liked or enjoyed working, especially if there was a little bit of financial reward at the end of it. Not always there was. And sometimes that's just the price to, you know, learn or have experience. But what I have noticed the older I get and the more people that I work with in general, male or female, doesn't matter, it gave me a leg up on a lot of situations where even if I'm not the one doing the work, I have the ability to have some insight or some understanding because I spent years in the construction trade. I have run some equipment. I've done some dirt work, and you guys and gals out there doing dirt work, it's a lot more than just playing in the dirt to get a good grade, get the water to run where you want to go, erosion control, etc. But I've been exposed to a lot of different skill sets over the years, as well as my confidence that, hey, if I screw it up, well, it's me that's going to affect, right? You know, it's not, I talk about a lot about the amount of training that A1 Custom Car Care does for all of our team, because we don't want to be practicing on y'all's vehicles out there. But when it comes to other skilled trades, you don't have to, you know, pigeonhole yourself into just one skill set. But I've been very, And I'm not really sure why, but I've been very open-minded to learn from anybody that I could learn from throughout my entire life. And sometimes it's not like, hey, this person was the absolute, you know, goat rock star at whatever this is. Sometimes it's like, oh, that person's really bad at that. I will never do that because I see what the outcome is. And I need to, you know, better my skill set so I don't get that same outcome. And I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but I'm sure you out there have run into it where you're, you know, everybody wants to learn from the ace, right? You know, the best of the best. But sometimes you learn as much, if not more, from the worst of the worst. And I had a mentor teach me this years ago during a very challenging time in my professional career that, like, hey, you know, you have an opportunity here to see what doesn't work. And that's just as important, if not more important, than, you know, learning from the person that makes it look easy, right? We all, I'm sure, have those coworkers or friends that, you know, something that we struggle with severely, they'll walk through that challenge like it wasn't even there, like it was just second nature for them. And that's pretty natural. And then as you build teams and hopefully you, you know, excel in your industry, and then maybe you move into a leadership position, that's not just a promotion. You have to earn that, by the way. Even if you get the position, you have to earn the leader portion of that. And I've noticed over the years that there's a lot of folks that don't have a lot of broad skill sets, or they haven't been exposed to near as much as what I think that everybody grew up in that same manner. And I've had to kind of move into a different role with A1 Custom Car Care the last few years. I still work on a fair amount of your cars out there, but we have folks that are just as good, if not better, than I ever thought about being, which is a big deal, okay? Now, people that, you know, are weak of character would take folks that are better at the service that the company provides as a threat. If you're not the sharpest knife in the drawer, maybe you're not as valuable, right? Well, I could not be farther on the opposing mindset of that at this point. And what I mean by that is if I can get folks that are as good, if not better, than I am, then that allows me some bandwidth to move into some different areas that I haven't been able to explore in whatever chosen industry, or into a leadership position, or a mixture of both. So what I'm sharing with you all now is A1 Custom Car Care not only has the experienced, veteran, well-trained and continue education that we've always had. You know, I've been a part of this company for, you know, right around 20 years, give or take a little bit on that number. And I've really watched it evolve, and me personally evolve as well, as a sidebar to the company's evolution. So as we grow now, like, I spend my time teaching and helping with some of the difficult diagnostic work that A1 Custom is known for, some of the difficult custom exhaust skills that A1 Custom still have, because the gentlemen that have those skills, and if there's a lady custom exhaust person out there, I tip my hat to you. That is a very difficult skill to learn. You're definitely not going to learn it in a book. I happened to be hired at the company during pretty much the peak of its exhaust skills, in my opinion. And what that means is we had guys that had been with the company 20, 30, and 40 years, and that's all they had done for their entire life, because A1 Custom comes from an exhaust specialty background, that I was able to learn from each and every one of them. And some of them was, hey, I'm not doing it that way. And the others is like, hey, I like how he does this, how he does that. I don't like how he does this, but the other person that's teaching me right now does it a different way, and it's better, more clean, more aesthetically pleasing. And that was very pivotal to my success in this industry, as well as hopefully it led and added to some of A1 Custom Car Care's success as well, that those skills didn't just perish when those individuals retired. And that's, I think, where we're at. The crux of this segment or this show is these skills are retiring out of the industry, or medically getting pulled away from their craft, or at this point, some of these folks are passing away because they have been the dominant person in whatever industry is out there, whether it's electrician, plumbing, mechanical, automotive repair, fill in whatever fits you. I know enough business owners and enough professionals in all of these industries that they're all in the same boat, and they're telling me the same thing, that those skills, you had better either be paying very, very well to attract, along with a culture and a representative that can live up to that, as well as you had better be building your next crew, if you will, or team, because if you're not reinvesting in your company or your career or your field, whether they stay at A1 Custom or not, I know for a fact that we have improved the skill set of many of those folks that have been with us, and we don't have a lot of turnover, but some of them that have left, I know that we improved those skill sets for somebody else down the line in their families. And I hope you all are doing the same thing. Sarah and I need to step into one last break before we wrap the show up in a nice little bow. We'll be right back after this.
Your complete car care solution, A1 Custom Car Care.
All right, welcome back. We've got just a little bit of time left. Sarah and I are going to have an argument here on the show.
We are going to argue.
She has a different viewpoint, and I am very excited to hear it.
So I know that you are kind of discussing skilled versus unskilled, mm-hmm. and I think that sometimes being unskilled is not necessarily a bad thing. And what I mean by that is you have that opportunity. If somebody has that will and that drive to learn, you have the opportunity to kind of train them however you want to, and they're not already set in their ways. I don't know if you've ever had an employee that maybe has been in the industry for 10, 15, 20 mm-hmm. years, and they are already set in their ways, and they are, this is the way I do it, it's my way or the highway. And it is very difficult, especially if you have several employees that you have specifically trained that are almost uniformed in the way that they do things.
Yeah.
You know, they all do things relatively similar in a certain way.
Okay.
And so I think that that would be kind of the other side of the mm-hmm. coin, if you will. So I really actually like it whenever somebody has the drive and the will to learn. I like to be able to train them, and I like to be able to train them my way. That way we can be kind of uniformed, and whenever I go on vacation or I need to step away, I know that things will be okay because they have been trained and they know exactly the way to do things, and things won't get missed.
You raise a very good point.
That's what I do.
So I'm going to elaborate on that a little bit. It's not that we disagree on that at all, and I'm so glad you brought this point up. So I still continue education, I won't say every day, but it's a lot, even on my own self-study, let alone traveling or, you know, being a paid member of an online training program that's out there. But with this new building, not that you all aren't sick of hearing about the new building, but I'm still really
excited
about it.
You have a new building?
We do have a new building. You should come see it, Sarah. It's almost like you're on our billboard.
I know. There's like a billboard out there with our face.
I know. It's advertising our show.
I know. I did drive by it the other day.
And?
But it was like a Saturday, so I couldn't go in.
Oh, we need to have presidential tour here.
I know. It's on my to-do list.
Did you see the little sign, the little digital sign that's on the front of the building?
Uh-huh.
And when I say little, it's like, I think it's 12 by 16 feet. It's humongous. It's awesome, by the way. But the reason I bring all that up and the new facility is because of your point there. And I have this realization that, and I have, you know, we have a little over 30 different people in, that, you know, are employed and part of our team. So the A1 Custom is so much bigger than Dustin Atwood ever thought about being. And that's super awesome, by the way, that we have attracted some of that high-end talent. But yes, to Sarah's point, it does come with some baggage. However, if as a leader or an owner, and which I'm not, I'm the operations manager for the company, if I'm open-minded, some of the baggage that they bring, I can learn some things too. So
right.
I don't want to ever be that like old guy that like can't learn anything anymore. Like one of my goals when I get older, and I've tried this a few different times, is to learn a musical instrument.
Oh, really?
I've tried several times. I've even taken classes on it. And it just basically what I can play is the radio very well. And that's about
it.
Second thing would be a second language. I did not pay attention in Mrs. Doolin's class. She was our Spanish teacher, which I really regret. But life's not over yet. My point of this whole deal is as a company, we are so committed to ongoing education and training that we have built a 30 to 40 person training room with a nice big TV that we can put programs up on and work with our young technicians or some of our old technicians, me being one of the old ones at this point in time, and shift my role a little bit to do some of the training. Now, I still attend a lot of training, so I want to bring certain trainers in for us. But this is the thing that sets us apart from any other shop that I know of as of yet. That training room has two nice double doors that open into three heated and air-conditioned bays.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. So not only as we bring unskilled labor in, to your point, that don't have bad habits already. Actually, that was one of my interview questions when I unloaded my toolbox at the Republic location when I was just a shiny new penny, was had I worked at a shop ever before? And I hadn't. I had only had my vocational training and the time that I spent with my dad, which was a lot as a child. And I asked them, I said, is that a bad thing? Because I had to say no. I didn't want to, you know, I had never done it. I was like 20 or 19 years old. I was very, very young. And I asked them, I said, is that a bad thing? Like, I thought they were going to poo-poo on me for it. And I'll never forget his answer. He said, no. And I was like, well, why is that? He said, you don't have any bad habits that I have to beat out of you.
Right.
And you bring up a very valid point. So it's the devil you know versus the devil you don't. Sometimes the older folks that have been in whatever industry for a long time, man, they got the skills, right? But maybe they got some trash that they learned along the way. And then the young people, they're your clay as long as they're the right mindset, if you will. And there needs to be some natural aptitude to it. I'm not saying I've seen people that want to be a mechanic so bad, but it just, whatever reason, it doesn't suit them.
Yeah.
And I'm not crapping on them by no means. But this job's hard. I'm sure there's harder jobs out there, but it's not easy. So if you're not in it for the right reasons or the right aptitude, it's going to be a miserable existence. So with that being said, we are not only will be able to do the theory, which I think to your point about what they teach at some of the colleges is only a part of the information. The second part of it is the fact that we can do the hands-on even in August. And the reason I bring this up, unless you've been a technician or a mechanic out there for years, you probably have no idea why the air conditioning side of it makes such a difference, especially for training. But I cannot tell you how many unbelievably miserable nights that I have sat in a shop bay with the fans going and the doors open, trying to learn or continue my education, sweating buckets in there because it was absolutely miserably hot. And the amount of retention to that information, I guarantee, was affected because it was miserable in there. Okay. So if we expand on that a little bit more, the skilled labor is amazing, but you got to deal and learn how to work with that skilled labor. If you teach them from jump, yes, it does slow you down, and it has affected my production or my ability to service vehicles a lot. And it's a whole different mindset. Just because you can do does not mean that you have the skills to teach. Those are two different things. And a lot of people think that, oh, you're great at doing it. That must mean that you can show others how to do it well. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's a very rare thing to find a good trainer that can not only train, but can do as well. And I have a list of several that I absolutely am religious about going to their training seminars, even if I have to pay out of pocket and drive for hours, which I have done. My goal or my transition, or at least concept of this as the company has changed, is yes, Dustin Atwood can fix a lot of vehicles that, you know, are challenging or have been difficult, hard cases. But what hopefully affects me and you out there, if we are your chosen service center or the technicians and service advisors that choose to come to work for A1 Custom Car Care, which we have some amazing folks that have sought us out because of what we have going on over there. And that makes a big difference on some of your service experiences, is the fact that I have devoted myself, if you want to master something, learn how to teach it. I didn't know what that meant until I started doing a little teaching. The second part of it is I've noticed that there's been some other shop owners and technicians, not just me, but seeking out that real world training, if you will, that it's not just the book and theory. We can hammer the book and theory. You can get that off the internet probably for little or nothing. but we can also do or walk the walk, the repairs, and I can show you hands-on the diagnostic strategies, how the equipment works to get the most out of the equipment that you have in your facility, as well as how to articulate and hopefully communicate at a high level to your service advisor, store manager, and to your customers. That is a big game changer for anybody at a personal level or us at a professional level through multiple stores in multiple states. That's what the industry needs. So Sarah, to your point, that baggage of experience, the experience is nice, but the bad habits are hard to break.
That's right.
The second part of that is if we are going to be successful in whatever business it is we're in, we had better start investing in the new people, because you cannot expand. I think everybody's seen that where businesses expand past their ability to quality control and then they go out of business.
Yep.
I don't want to be that. I love this business. I want to keep up with what's going on, make sure that we are always on the cutting edge, personally, professionally, and as a company. And the fact that we have such a great team out there really makes a difference. And we're not only resting on our laurels, if you will, that's like, oh, you know, we're good enough. We got to keep getting better, because in case anybody's noticed, these cars are not getting any simpler. They're getting fancy. And the fancy bells and whistles are cool, but I got to figure out how to work and fix those bells and whistles. And that's a whole different ballgame than just adjusting points and condenser and carburetor. Now, I'm dating myself a little bit there, but that's old school, right? Those skills are getting more important now because the guys that had those skills are no longer doing it anymore. So you'd better be keeping up with the Joneses, if you will, to where if you're not skilled, have a skill. If you have kids or grandkids or whatever getting, you know, they need to be planning for this. And if they don't get on the stick early, it's going to set them back into their 30s and 40s before they start seeing even a little bit of success in whatever their chosen field is. And that's a tough road to hoe. I sure don't want to go that route. I mean, if I had to start over again, would I do a couple of things different? Probably. But the majority of it, thankfully, I knew what field I wanted to be in. I found the education that I needed to. I do not have a lot of student debt or any student debt. I was able to come to work for a company that, you know, that was part of their program, and they have reaped the benefits of that, as well as, for me personally, it tied me to A1 Custom Car Care because they were willing to invest in me. And that is a real thing out there. You find a good company, they will want to invest in their people. If they're not a good company, they probably won't. Oh, we don't believe in training, or, oh, you know, we've always done it this way, or it's always hard, or this piece of equipment would make our life better, but you're not getting it for whatever reason. And that's just not my philosophy. And a lot of the reason it's not my philosophy is because the company, it's not their philosophy. A1 Custom has shown me that, hey, there's a better way to do things. And it's not a bad thing to continue your education, grow your skill set, and be versatile in the market space that you're in. So a big part of what we do is network and CAN diagnostics. You talk to most shops out there, they haven't got a clue what you're talking about. But because we're going to keep on the front side of this thing, we do.
Well, I hate to cut you off, but we are officially out of show.
That goes fast.
It really does. If you're out there in Radioland, you have a question or a comment for us, feel free to text us on the Pyramid Roofing Company talk and text line. That phone number is 417-447-5743. Dustin, I hope you have a good rest of your weekend.
You as well. Be safe out there.
Bye.